It'll be a good time. All right, so today we get to continue in our series that we started last week called Roots, How We Grow. And I love these kind of series because it kind of gets, it kind of gets below the surface. And we get in there and we're talking about spiritual growth. What is it? How is it that we grow? What is it that we can do to help ourselves spiritually to get closer to God, to be able to, when the trials of life come, what can we do to help us stand firm in the Lord and not, fall into temptations? And so that's kind of what this series is about, is helping us grow spiritually. And we're calling this Roots let's just read the scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "Now just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And I believe that we need to allow our roots to grow down into him. And last week we talked about the power of the seed. We asked the question, what are you sowing into your life? What is it that you're consistently inputting into your life? Because what you input is what you're going to get out. The old term, way back when computers were first coming alive, the phrase was garbage in, garbage out. If you just put garbage into your computer, whatever it is you put in, that's what it's going to give you back. And it's the same thing with our lives. Whatever it is we're putting into our lives, that's what our life is going to produce. And we ask the question, are you happy with your life? Are there other things that you would like to see in your life? And the question is, what are you doing about it? I believe that as Christians, we should live life on purpose. That we should be purposeful in what we're feeding ourselves spiritually. What is it that you're consuming in your life? Are you putting God's word in? Are you allowing the presence of God to help shape and form you? Are you allowing godly friends into your life to speak into your life and to help you and to hold you accountable? These are all important things. We talked about the power of the seed. And the second scripture that we are basing our series on is Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, in which it yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers." That should be the picture of a Christian right there. Is that, we're alive. That God's fruit is being birthed in our lives, and that we look healthy. And lots of times, people look at the church and they don't see health, they don't see life, but they just see chaos and anger and hatred. And that's not what Jesus was about. That's not why Jesus built the church, so that we could look just like the world. And so, through this series, I'm hoping that we can encourage you to dig deep into God's Word and allow God to change your heart and to change your life. And so there's actually two aspects in growing. We're comparing this to growing a garden. And last week I showed you a picture of my garden, and it was interesting. There was lots of weeds growing and grass, and it wasn't a picture of a good garden. And so I don't have a green thumb. I've planted one thing in my yard over the last, 12 years that I've lived there, and it was a Japanese maple tree. And it's the only thing that survived that I've ever planted in my yard. And so, I live north of Batesville, just right over here, and we grow rocks. Anybody live in the area, you know what I'm talking about? It's like I mow and there's new rocks just keep coming up. I'll just mow new rocks is what I do. But there's two aspects of growing, and that's the seed that you plant and the soil that you plant in. Last week we talked about the seed, how we need to be planting the seed of God's Word in our life. And so today we're going to look at the soil that we're planting in. What quality soil are you planting in your life? Or is your life, I should say. Today we're going to look at the parable of the sower, where it talks about the different types of soil or the different types of hearts of people. And through this, I want us to self-evaluate today about how is my heart? You know, what kind of soil is my heart? Is it ready to receive God's word, or am I more likely to reject God's word because of my hard heart? And so I want to dive into this. You know, Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 8. And so we're going to kind of sit here for a few minutes and talk about this and work our way through the different types of soil. In Luke chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered seed across the field, some seed fell on the footpath, where it was stepped on, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon withered. It wilted and died due to lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as what was planted." And he said, and when he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." And it's interesting that Jesus stopped talking about that. And you know, if I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, okay, God, I mean, Jesus, I mean, this is a good lesson on gardening, but what does this have to do with me? And the disciples thought the same way. And so they asked him, you know, what did this mean? So verse 11, he explains what he was talking about. He said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word." And I want to stop right there just for a second, because in this parable that he's talking about, in every kind of soil, it was the same seed. It wasn't different seed. It wasn't something like flowers over here and trees over. It was all the same seed. Everybody got the same thing. But because of the condition of their heart, that seed reacted differently. Verse 12, "The seed that fell upon the footpath represents those who hear the message." So they hear the message, they hear the gospel, only that the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. "The seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they didn't have deep roots, they believed for a little while and then they fell away when they faced temptation. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and so they never grew into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, they cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." So here we see four different types of soil. Like I said, they all got the same seed, but each one reacted differently depending on what type of soil it is. One of the soils, it rejected the gospel. It rejected God's word. It wasn't ready. One of them accepted the gospel and it changed them. It produced something in their life. But there was two different soils in here that accepted the gospel at first, but then it died out. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are the two types of soil that we receive God's word. We're excited. You know, we love God. We love God's word. You know, we hear God's word and we're excited about it. We want to do something about it, but then nothing ever changes. That seems to be the picture of a lot of churches, is that we have people who love God, but nothing ever changes in their life. They're the same as they were 10 years ago as they are today. And I don't think that's God's perfect will in our lives. I believe that God wants us to grow, to get closer to Him, to change, to become more and more like Him. The word Christian literally means to be Christ-like. And I know none of us are there. So none of us have a reason to stop until we get there. And that's when we get to heaven. So we should always be wanting to grow. We should always be wanting to better ourselves, to get closer to God. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I do this in my life, but there's times that we have like a growth spurt in our life. And things are going well. You know, we're reading, we're excited, and things are going well. And we get to this point to where we just kind of stop. We just kind of feel comfortable where we are. Like, oh, I've changed. I've gotten better, so I can relax now. But what tends to happen when we do that? We go back to where we were. And we actually lose ground from what God did in our lives. And it's almost like our life, our spiritual life, is a roller coaster. We're up, we're down. Man, we're praising God one day, and the next day we're cussing at the people at work, you know. And it's just like, man, we're missing something here. This isn't what God wants for our lives. No, I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect one day. When we get to heaven, we'll be perfect. It's something to look forward to. And I'm not saying that life is going to be easy the closer you get to Jesus. But what I'm saying is your life can stabilize because you're built on the rock of Jesus and on God's Word, and that your life can be stable. We all want stability in our life. But so many times we just feel like we're just on a boat out in the ocean and we're just like floating along and just whatever happens, happens. That can change in your life. God's Word will bring stability to you if you plant it in your heart and you allow it to grow and to change you. Amen? All right. So here's the good news. No matter where you fall in these categories today, the good news is your soil can improve. You're not stuck where you are. And that you can do something to make your heart better to receive God's Word. And that's what I want to get into today. And we're going to talk about the different types of soil and how they reacted to God's Word. And I believe that God wants to speak to you today. I believe that He's got something for you today, not because of what I'm going to say, but because of what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you. Because, man, this is huge. God doesn't want you to be still. He doesn't want you to be still. He doesn't want you to just to plateau and stop. Because no matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, is that He's got another step for you. You know, the Bible talks about that we're going to grow glory to glory. And that God wants to use you, but He's got something else for you to do too. And that He wants to use you in a bigger way. And that He wants to reach people of His love and His gospel through you. Okay, let's talk about it today. Number one, the first one we want to look at is the hard soil or the hard heart. And these are the people. You can tell someone who has a hard heart fairly quickly. You know, if you begin to converse with someone and you even bring up Christianity or anything like that, I mean, you feel that hardness real quick lots of times. And it's like they come against us, like they have to push against it or fight against it or something. And the hard heart is deceived. It's a deceived heart is what it is. Because basically, the hard heart is rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting anything that has to do with God. And there's several reasons why they do that. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. And it talks about this. Verse 17, it says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused." The Gentiles here are representing people who don't believe in Jesus. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives, because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. I don't know what it is, but today, people are almost proud of their rebellion against God. I don't know if you've noticed this in the world, but it's almost like a badge of honor to live against anything that has to do with God and the Bible, any kind of moral standard that the Bible puts out. And you know, used to, you know, you kind of hid it. You know, you didn't want people to know. You didn't want people to look down on you. But now it's just like we're proud of it. Our shameful lives that people are proud of it. And this is the hard heart. See, there's two different kinds of hard hearts. There's one that's emotionally hard. These are people that they're rejecting the gospel, and lots of times it's because of a hurt in their life. Maybe they've been hurt by the church. Maybe they've been hurt by a Christian. Maybe there's just been something that's happened in their life that they've asked, God, how could you let this happen to me? If you're such a loving God, why did this happen to me? And emotionally, they build up walls against God. And it's an emotional hardness. And that it all has to do with their feeling. And it's not necessarily a logical thing. That you can't use logic to talk them out of it. You know, someone who is hurting on the inside, there's really nothing that you can, you know, say that's going to heal that hurt. It takes Jesus to heal that hurt. And these people are pushing against the gospel. They're hard towards that because of a hurt in their life. And there are people who are intellectually hard. These are people that love to debate theology with you. And it's hard for me to talk to these people because I know that no matter what my argument, no matter how good it is, I'm not going to convince them otherwise. People who are hard-hearted intelligently against the gospel, they just want to fight. They just want to have this conversation to prove that they're right and to make you look dumb. Now, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I'm just saying, you know, for the most part, they want you to look bad because you don't know as much as them. And because I'm so smart and I've studied all this, then I know all of this stuff. And it's hard to be able to, you know, say anything to these people. I mean, there are ways that you can use apologetics to talk to people. But, you know, I've never seen an argument, especially on Facebook, that's changed anybody's mind. You know what I'm saying? Never have I seen an argument that's changed anything, but you just made each other mad. That's all you've done. But see, here's the thing with the hard heart. You know, if you want to help hard ground, what do? First thing I do is I throw a little water on it. Softens it up a little bit, and you're able to do something with it. See, people who have hard hearts against the gospel, we have to learn to soften the ground. We can't force the seed down into them as much as you want to just shove it in there. It doesn't work that way. I can go out here on this parking lot and throw seed all day long. It's not going to do anything. But the one cool thing that you see a crack in the pavement somewhere and you see grass growing, don't you? It goes to show that no heart is impenetrable. And that God, He can find a crack and throw some seed in there and make something produce in those lives. And I believe that's what we need to be doing as Christians, because we all have hard-hearted people around us that we want to give them God. But there's just something that just, I mean, it's like you can't even have a conversation about it. So how do we soften the hearts of the hard-hearted? We don't have to tell them the gospel. We show them the gospel. We show them God's love. You know, there's people that you work with that you dread seeing. You know they're going to be upset about something. They're griping about something. Whatever it is that's bothering them right now, you're going to hear about it. And they don't like anybody. And they've got... How about we love those people? God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He says to pray for those who use you. Bless those who curse you. See, this is how we soften the heart of the hard-hearted. And I believe that as we begin to soften, we begin to love, that we show grace towards those people, that we forgive those people, that we don't let their bad attitudes bother us, but we just keep loving and we're consistent in that, and that their hearts begin to soften. And I firmly believe that God has us where we are for a reason. You work where you work for a reason. There's people in your life for a reason. And I believe if we're about our Father's business, if that we're ministry-minded and we're looking and we're praying for those opportunities to be able to sow into people's lives and add value to people, I believe that as we're doing that, that's softening the heart. And then lots of times something will happen in their life to where it breaks them down. And all of a sudden there's that crack. That crack that you need to throw that seed down in there. And that you can pray for them and you can talk to them. Because those people who are hard-hearted and they're always against everybody and pushing against anybody, if you're still there loving them, then who are they going to come to when they have trouble? They're going to come to that love. They're going to come find that grace. And that's the opportunity for you to sow that seed down in there and allow God to begin to do His thing in their heart. See, nobody's too hard. I've seen some hard people that have come into this building that have given their lives to the Lord that you would have never thought, like, ever. Like, there's no way that this person will ever love God. But that crack happens. The seed's sown, and God does a miracle in their life. And so, here's the thing. We don't need to give up on the hard hearts. Notice in this parable, the seed is sown on all four different kinds of soil. The seed is there. The farmer didn't just say, I'm just going to go over here to the good soil and seed. But he sowed in all four of them. See, we need to be sowing seed into people's lives, no matter where they're at on their journey, no matter how hard you think they are, no matter how immature of a Christian you think they are, how much they're addicted to whatever. It doesn't matter. Our job is to sow the seed of God's Word into people's hearts. And let God do His work. So if you have that hard-hearted person in your life, keep loving. Man, keep forgiving. Keep working on them. And God will give you that opportunity if you stay after it. The second one I want to talk about today is the second one where it talks about, let me read it to you, the rocky soil. So the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. So these people are Christians. These people love God. It's not like they're trying to reject God or run away from God, but these people, they enjoy the presence of God, and they're good people. They've given their lives to the Lord. And so they receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a little while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. So unfortunately, we'll see a lot of Christians in the next two soils. In that, you know, man, we love to come to church. We love God. Man, I read on YouVersion on my phone every once in a while too. I'll make sure I highlight so everybody knows that I'm reading. I know y'all don't do that. I do it. Y'all don't. But these people, they never truly are purposeful in investing in their lives and sowing God's Word into their life. A lot of these people, you know, they pray a prayer, they get saved, but then they never do anything else. They never activate their faith. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. And the reason they stay baby Christians, the reason that they never grow, the reason why we always fall to the temptations is because our roots aren't deep enough. That when the wind of that temptation comes, we fall over. We give in. Man, if we're struggling, if we have things that keep knocking us over and we keep falling to over and over again, guys, let's start growing some deep roots into God. Because listen to this. He said that they fall away when they face temptation. This temptation could be an enticement to sin. An enticement to sin. It could be the temptation of an inward desire. Listen to this in James chapter 1. He says, blessed is the one who preserves under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Man, we all want to be that person. We all want to be that person that when the trial comes, that man, we're just holding on. It's like, God, I'm trusting on You on this one, and we make it through, and it says that we'll get a crown of life, and you know, we love that. Verse 13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. Listen to this. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after the desire is conceived, we're talking seeds here, soil. After the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. See, guys, we've got to learn to get those rocks out of our garden. Those sins, those evils, I all have them. Difference really makes you sing about your
Getting up sin, God for sin, and over again. Up and nowhere. Never crash because you keep like you're addicted to mine. God did sin, and if there's a specific thing you're doing, get in God's word. God's word's about it. Because God's word speaks to these things. If you have trouble with fear, man, find some scripture about fear. If you're dealing with lust, grab some scriptures about keeping your mind pure. If you're dealing with addiction, man, go in there and find these scriptures that deal with these different issues and allow God's word to get deep into your heart. And then, you know, you're still going to fall every once in a while. You're not going to do it perfect. But the more you dig and the more you confess those scriptures over your life, you post them on your mirror, when you're getting ready, when you're brushing your hair in the morning, read those scriptures over yourself. It's God's word. That's God's word getting deep on the inside of you. And then you'll begin to see a change. Slowly but surely, when that temptation comes, it's not so deep. When that person comes up and is being ugly, you don't laugh as hard or as fast. And you begin to see that slow change in your heart when you allow God work on the inside. So it might be sin that trips up. It might be our own evil desires. It could be an offense that trips you up. See, many people leave the church and walk away from their faith because of someone offended them. Someone sat in the pew. He looked at me funny today when I walked in the door. They didn't say hi to me. It's something bigger than that. Someone's spreading rumors about you. Are you going to allow that to stop the growth of God in your life? Here's the thing. An offense tries to put blame on somebody else for your own unforgiveness. Let me say that again. An offense tries to put the blame on somebody else for your own unforgiveness. See, when you get offended, basically you're just refusing to forgive somebody for doing you wrong. And you know who that hurts? Not the other person. They don't care if you're mad or not. They don't care if you can hold a 20-year grudge. It only affects you because it plants unforgiveness in your heart and bitterness in your heart. And at that point, you stop God's growth in your life. I know it's not easy to forgive. I understand that. Someone has done you wrong, bad. I understand that. But if you want to see some change in your life, you've got to learn how to forgive. Go find some scriptures on forgiveness. Go read the story about Jesus on the cross, who never did anything wrong. He lived the perfect life, and he's up on the cross dying after he had been beaten, spat on. People are making fun of him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, here's the thing, guys. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not your problem. But you have an enemy that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy your life. He's trying to stop the growth of God in your life. Are you going to let him do it? It's your choice. It's your choice if the devil stops you or not. But he does it through sin. He does it through unforgiveness. Man. It's simple, but it's not easy. What are you going to do with your garden? What are you going to do with your heart? What are you going to allow into your heart? Number three. It's the heart that has the thorns in it. He said, these seeds fell among the thorns. Represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life so that they never grow into maturity. I call this the distracted heart. And this is the one that I deal with most often, is the distracted heart. We receive God's word, we receive God's love, and we begin to grow. We want to grow, we begin to grow, but things choke out God's word in our life. Man, we're busy. You got work. You got family. The kids play soccer. You got to pay bills. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. I understand that. But the thing is, are you going to allow those things to choke God's word out of your life? Are you going to put more emphasis on those things than what God's wanting to do in your life? See, we must put priority on God's word. We must put priority on getting into the presence of God and allow Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit. We've got to make that top priority. Because you've got to go to work. You've got to pay your bills. You've got to take care of your kids. I get that.
But are you allowing those things to stop you from growing in Christ? If we read this in Mark chapter 4, where he's telling the same parable, it uses this phrase. It says, it's the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Are you allowing worry to choke out God's word in your life? I understand we have concern about our kids, about their future, about their safety. You know, we have concerns about paying our bills, but are you allowing those to become worries? Because you know what a worry is? It's you trying to take on something that God's already taken care of. I can worry about my kids when they go to school. I can do all that, and it can consume me to where it just paralyzes me. Or I can give those things over to God because He can actually do something about it. Most times we worry about things that we have no control over. But God tells us to put those into His hands. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I love what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, don't worry about anything. Well, I need to worry about this though. No, you don't. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know how you give things to God? You pray. God, I pray every day before I take my kids to school. As we're going down the road, I say, kids, let's pray. I say, Father, thank you for today. God, thank you that my kids have the mind of Christ, that they'll be able to comprehend what they're being taught today and that they'll grow. Thank you, Lord, that you give them a heart to love people like you love them. And I thank you, Lord, that your hand of protection is on them so that they can learn without distraction. That's putting that over into God's hands, and then I'll walk away knowing that He has it. See, I can sit there and worry all day. What are my kids doing? No, what about this? What about this? What about? We got to learn to give that stuff over to God and let Him deal with it. So the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Notice it's the love of money, not money. There's nothing wrong with money. It's your heart towards money. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. If you're constantly concerned about paying bills and doing this and doing that, and it's all about getting the bigger house, the nicer car, and doing this and doing this, I understand wanting nice stuff. But do you own your stuff, or does your stuff own you? Do you have to work extra because you have so many payments that's the only way you can afford it? See, this is the deceitfulness of riches. I need to make more money, so I need to work longer, and I need to put in more hours. And are we trusting God? God is my source. He clothed the lilies of the valley. The birds eat. Don't you think He's going to take care of me? The distracted heart. Then I love this other one. It says, the desires for other things. That's kind of like in the job description. It says, and anything else that we need you to do. You know, that's kind of that phrase on there. Like, anything else. These are the idols in our life. These things that we put before God. It's not like an idol like back in the day where they bowed before it. You know, we don't have those, but we have other idols that we prioritize them above God. What are we doing about those? And so the last one we come to is the good ground. The good ground. This is the ready heart. See, this is the heart that has been tilled up. If I want a good garden, man, I have to get out there with my tiller or borrow somebody's because I don't have one. But anyway, and get out there with that tiller and let it beat you around and let rock pop up and you'll throw it out. And you keep tilling until you get all of the stuff out of it that's going to stop the growth in your garden. And it's purposeful. You don't accidentally till the garden, do you? You got to make a decision to get out there and get beat up by this tiller. but it's a purposeful thing in that we have to get into our hearts. We have to self-evaluate. Say, God, show me my heart today. God, show me the things that are stopping the growth that you want in my life. God, show me the sins. God, show me the distractions. Show me the worries in my heart. God, and help me to get rid of those things. I give these things to you. God, I plant your word in here in my life, God, so that I can get rid of that fear, that I can get rid of that worry. And we have to be purposeful and working our heart to make sure it is pure and clean. This is a heart that's prepared and waiting the seed. I wish that my heart was like that all the time, to where I'm just like, okay, God, I'm ready. God, sow some seed in me. God, let me read your word. Do something big in my life. I love how Psalms 119, how it describes this. It says, how can a young man stay pure? We need to listen to that. How can a young man stay pure? Even for us older people, it applies to us too. By obeying your word, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden in your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud the regulations you have given us. Are you speaking God's word over your life? I have rejoiced in the laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. See, this is the picture of the pure heart, the good ground that we want to strive to get. So here it is. It's self-evaluation time. How's your heart? What soil are you? Where did you see yourself in this parable? Are you the hard heart? Are you the heart that fights against the things of God? Do you find yourself pushing like anything, anytime someone starts talking about God or wants to pray for you, you just feel this resistance, like, it's time to soften your heart to God. Because God wants to come and give you life, and give you life to the fullest. It's my prayer today that if you have a hard heart, that God begins to work in there and begins to use people around you to sow that seed. It's time to soften that thing and come to God. Maybe you saw yourself in the shallow soil. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord and that you love God, but you just haven't done anything since. You've done nothing to activate your faith. You've done nothing to get closer to God. Man, dig in. Begin to dig into God's word. Begin to get those things out, those sins and those things that are stopping you. It is possible. A lot of times we look at our sin, we look at our addiction, we look at the things in our life and say, there's no way I can do it. Man, give that thing over to God. Tell somebody what you're struggling with. Say, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you pray for me? Can you share scripture with me? Can you hold me accountable in this? I need some help. Maybe you saw yourself as the distracted heart. Things have just crowded your life. It's where there just doesn't seem like there's any time. Ask God to help you prioritize. God, show me the things in my life that I need to weed out. God, show me the things in my life that are taking up too much time, taking up too much of my mental, my thinking. Those things that I yearn for that don't need to be there, God, take those out. Maybe you're the ready heart. Maybe you've gone through the processes. Man, you've been working. You've been working hard. Man, just begin to shove God's word into your life. Man, just overdo it, man. Get into God's word, man. You can download the YouVersion app and it'll read to you if you don't like to read. Listen to worship music. Find people to sit down and talk about God's word about. Just, man, anything that you can do to get God's word in there, because the Bible says that as you do, you will produce a harvest. You will produce a harvest. God will do something in your life. Guaranteed. Here's the good news today. Your soil can change. Your soil can be improved. Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to do the work? prayer team come ahead. We're about to sing a worship song. And today I want you to respond to God. I want you to respond how you feel like you need to today. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Maybe you need to give your life to the Lord and say, finally say, I can't do this. I'm tired of being hard-hearted. I'm tired of this stuff, and I need Jesus. Maybe you just need someone to encourage you today. Maybe you're facing that addiction. You're facing that eviction notice, and you just, those worries and those cares and those things are just overwhelming. Come pray. Pray at your seat. Grab someone next to you, say, someone pray for me. Or maybe you just need to worship God. Let's all stand. I want you to respond.